Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Whether you're young or old, if you have entrepreneurial spirit in your soul, you're going to want to meet Victor Ahipenny. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Victor Ahipenny. He's from Australia, originally from New Zealand. He is the podcast host of a show called Youngpreneurs, and that is his passion, which I think is super cool. So, Victor, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be on, and thanks for having me.
Thank you. And I know you brought a quote to share with us today, so can you give it to us?
I did. I brought a quote. I'm not sure who the quote is from, so I'm going to claim it myself, but it's one of my favorites, and it is that action creates traction, creates attraction, which then turns to transactions. And for me, that has been a really big one, because once you start taking action, everything doesn't necessarily flow from there, but it starts building and building. And then after a while, everyone starts coming to you. And that's what I've found with my show, and we'll delve into that more.
Yes. And you know what? Now, here's the thing with Victor. Victor is really, he's a hustler. I mean, this guy is on the move. He's looking to make things happen. And so it's not a surprise for me, Victor, that your podcast is all about youngpreneurs. And when we say youngpreneurs, you are saying entrepreneurs between the ages of 0 and 35 who do what?
So they're doing things differently. They're not opening a hair salon down the road, and I've got nothing against that. They're not, you know, opening a food stall or anything like that. They're doing things more creatively. They're creating change for the future, and they're doing things outside of the norm. And I guess one of the biggest things from my show is it's really breaking down the barriers, showing to other young entrepreneurs out there who are thinking of jumping ship, getting out of the working world, or taking their business to another level, that you don't have to be the rich kid, or you don't have to be the smartest kid, or it's not what you train for at uni that you have to do to follow your passion. And that's really what the show shows to a lot of people.
Which is one of the reasons why I wanted you to come onto my show, to motivate my listeners who may have this entrepreneurial spirit brewing inside of them, to listen to what you've learned through your guests. So it doesn't surprise me, you know, seeing that you fall into this age range of 0 to 35, that you would be interested in all of this. So how did this begin for you?
Previously coming into the entrepreneurial world, I grew up in a low socioeconomic area with just a single mum who, you know, did everything she could to, you know, provide the best she could for us. And she was great at doing all of that. And through there, so I didn't necessarily grow up. I grew up with a hard work ethic, the work ethic of going to school and then getting a job, and then, you know, you work as hard as you can, and that didn't really sit too well with me. And I went to high school when I was, you know, smart enough. You know, I got good grades, and then the next thing on from there is, you know, if you get good grades, you go to university. And I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to university because it seems like the thing that you should do. You go to university, you leave, you buy a house, you get married, you get a job, and you work until you're 65. And you know, that was quite daunting for me. And I think it, yeah, and we'll delve into some of this later, but I think it was kind of some of my limiting beliefs that started to generate there. But yeah, transitioning from there, I became a physiotherapist, or a physical therapist for those in the States. And it was far from my passion. So it was something that I wasn't bad at, but I enjoyed the learning aspect of it, but the actual implementation and the working with people, I enjoyed working with people, but I found myself getting quite bored quite quickly. And I'd been worked in a place with amazing training, worked in a place with ideal athletes. I worked in Canada treating all the varsity athletes over there. I worked with professional sports teams, and then I was still going, okay, I'm not overly satisfied with this. And one day I was catching a train out to work, and it was about a 30-minute trip, and this was when we had first moved to Australia, and I thought I should probably stop playing Angry Birds and do something with my life, because I was literally just, you know, taking my phone, sitting on there and just, yeah, wasting time away. And I hadn't read a book and probably I think I was 24 then, and I don't think I'd read a book since I was about 13 or 14. I literally like hired out whatever Shakespeare movie book we were meant to read when I was about 17 at school for English. I really didn't like reading.
Wait, Victor, I do have to tell you that I just recently, as in June, resigned from being a high school English teacher. So,
so I'm getting an F.
Yes.
But yeah, so I decided I'll get a book to read on the train, because yeah, it seemed like something that might be productive with my time. And I happened to pick up a book from a guy by the name of Steve McKnight, and his book was called Zero to 130 Properties in 3.5 Years. And it's the top selling book, or one of the top two, with Rich Dad Poor Dad in Australia. And I was like, oh yeah, I said, I'll probably buy a house one day, and that'll be, yeah, this will be something worth, I guess, knowing and being a little bit more clued on about. And read that, was hooked, went and signed up to some training that he had, that he'd just put out, and ended up getting mentored by him in a small group for, he now runs $100 million property fund in the United States, and you know, has bought 500 plus properties. And one of his big things was, he talks about getting an income accelerator if you're looking into property. So if you're going to have these, need these consistent deposits and need stuff to live on, if you're really going to go down the property market, you need to have something that's going to be supplementing that income outside of just property. And so that's where I guess I started my journey into finding something that I could be passionate about. And I've kind of get shiny object syndrome, where I see lots of different things and I'm like, oh, I'll give that a go. Oh, I'll give that a go. And it wasn't until podcasting came around, I looked at internet niche marketing, and podcasting is kind of similar to that, and finding something that's going to work. I think, a tip for any potential podcasters out there, if you're just going to put out a business podcast, you're probably going to struggle against some of the bigger names to get your exposure. But if you're targeting a particular niche within there, then you've really got a chance to grow, because you're going to be, yeah, there's a big enough subset in that niche that you can really learn. And when I was looking for my niche, I was going, okay, who do I spend the most time around? And it was, you know, younger people. And then I was like, yeah, who have I increased my time around? It was like, okay, entrepreneurs. And then I said, all right, well, why don't I interview young entrepreneurs? I'm sure I'm going to find a lot who know a lot more than me. And then that kind of eventuated from there. I was like, okay, I'm connecting with these people. And initially I was interviewing some of my friends who had done well and had interesting stories. And then it transitioned to that kind of action creates traction, creates attraction. And now it's to the point where, you know, people are coming to me saying, hey, I'd love to be interviewed. And you get to the awesome opportunity to say no to some people and say yes to some people, and you've got a lot more social proof. So the journey's been awesome, and it's really helped, you know, with all the, when I say I'd read that one book, since then I've probably read and listened to, you know, 100, 200 books in the last few years. And they're all been business and mindset related, and ridiculously expanded my knowledge. And that's where I thought it would be a really, really good fit.
Well, I think what's great about what you just said is reading, and I know I was an English teacher, and I'm a writer, by the way. Who writes books, novels? I'll send you one. But anyway, I think what's really good about that is that you picked up a book and it changed your life. It just expanded your vision, your perspective, and it changed your person, and it ignited something in you that then you could take off on. And like you said, so many of us don't read anymore. Now, I mean, there's a lot of really great articles, even on Facebook, you know, they curate content and enough to where people can be exposed to information like the book you read, even if it's just one article teasing them to say, hey, wait a minute, I didn't even know that this kind of thing was out there. And then it changes your whole life.
Mm. And like one of the really interesting things is, From the podcasting, it's opened a lot of opportunities for me, and it's opened a lot of doors. But I got an email a while ago from one of my listeners, and he said, "Hey, really loving the show." Yeah, and he gave me some constructive feedback on. You know, he just said, I think this bit doesn't really fit what you're sounding. Blah blah blah. Don't take it. Yeah, don't take it to heart." And it was actually really good constructive feedback. And I said mm-hmm. to him, he said, "Oh, I'm over in Sweden." And I said, "Oh, cool." I said, I'm in Brisbane, Australia. And he said, "Oh, really?" He said, "I'm actually originally from Brisbane, and now he's moved back here." And we caught up, and he's the same. I actually haven't asked him how he found my podcast, but since then he's been listening to other podcasts. He's in the entrepreneurial world now, and it's amazing that the kind of pay it forward that you don't really necessarily think about at the time of what you're grateful for, and what that's definitely one of the things is that book absolutely changed my life. I'm quite good friends with the author and my mentor now, and I went to Tony Robbins about 3-4 weeks ago, and one of it was, you know, who are you thankful for? And I actually left there and I emailed him and I said, "Hey Steve, just wanted to say, yeah, I'm really, really thankful that you came into my life, and you know, it really put me on a different path." And it wasn't until sitting down with my newfound friend and listener that I realized, hey, hopefully I've been able to pay that forward and have an impact on someone else's life.
Okay, first thing I want to say is, did you seriously walk on coals?
Yeah.
It's, you posted that. Now, for listeners, Victor was probably one of the first people that I actually reached out to and commented on anything that had to do with podcasting. And we are a member of the same forum. And I messaged you. I just posted a comment on something you had said. And that was actually you're the first person I spoke to in the podcasting world.
Nice. I feel privileged.
And here we are months later, right? And
yeah.
And we've been supporting each other in different ways, which is really, really cool, because then you were doing a contest. And listeners, when I say that Victor doesn't sit still, he's a hustler. You were doing some kind of contest. And I remember I was in Las Vegas. My husband's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Hang on, I just have to give him 8 more." and then a few hours later, you know, because it was like, I don't know. If I sat down, that's just the kind of person I am. If I know you're doing a contest, I'll hit, you know, 10 times if I need to help you out. I mean, why not? You know, let's help people out. That's who I am. This is motivate me. This is what I do.
And I think that's the same with me. So to give listeners a bit of context, there was a competition I was going for and I'd been nominated, and it was the Edupreneur Awards. So someone had put me forward for the help that my podcast had been putting forward to young entrepreneurs. And basically, I mean, one of my big things is there's always a hack for everything. Like, I love Tim Ferriss. I love what he's all about, and he 80-20s everything. And for this award, there was a voting section, and I actually interviewed the lady who created the competition the other day, and I said, "So what were you doing allowing everyone to vote every hour?" She said her developer pulled out in the 12th hour and she was launching the next day, and she just had to find any kind of voting thing, and she said it won't be like that next year. But what I found was people could vote every hour, and about 8 to 10 times every hour. So I created a private Facebook group and just made sure I gave everyone nice friendly reminders a few times a day, and it ended up smashing it out of the park. And it was part ridiculous, but she said it was actually quite interesting, because the person who was initially winning, she said she could tell he was buying in votes. And then she was so confused when my one, when I decided to just start doing my campaign. She's like, was ticking along, and she could see the votes were legitimate and what countries they were from. And yeah, I think his, the guy who was above me at the time had like 8,000 from India, and he was from like Europe. So he'd just gone onto some site and purchased them, and then would just repurchase. And she's like, yeah, we just basically eliminated him from it. But yeah, it was, I appreciate the help. And yeah, B, I think, you know, for people out there, if you want to get it done, just sit back and say, what is everyone else doing and what can I do that's not that? Because everyone else was posting on their Facebook page, and I'm like, well, you know, you're going to reach 10% of your followers at most, and then you're going to saturate it and get sick of it. Whereas I was like, oh, okay, a group that gets through to 100% of your people, they all get notifications daily. If they don't like it, they can get out of it. And then, yeah, so it was a good little 80-20, I thought, from my end. And then everyone was a bit afterwards like, oh, I've got, what am I going to do? I keep picking up my phone every hour.
I know. We're like, I know, when this is over, what I'm going to feel useless now. I feel like I'm serving a purpose right now. But something else that I like that you said was, you know, pay it forward, that you were surprised that people learned from your podcast. But see, that's the whole goal of mine. And we're doing similar things. Like, my goal is I want my listeners to simply discover or rediscover a passion and incorporate it into their lives. So how can they do that? They can do that by listening to my guests and applying whatever works for them to their life, to their passion. So let's say for you right now, being on my show, for my listeners, you're talking about being an entrepreneur. You're talking about a couple things. You're talking about a really narrow niche of youngpreneurs, which I think is so smart. I think your business moves are very savvy. I think they're well thought out and interesting and personal to you. And that's why it's all working. And the fact that you're a go-getter and you just get it done. So hopefully my listeners, anybody who's thinking about doing something. And the other thing is that I think you're showing everybody, Victor, is, okay, you read a book, you liked it, it changed your life, and now the guy's your mentor. You're not afraid to contact people and to put yourself out there and to take a risk, even just to start a Facebook group and invite your friends into it to say, hey, can you come in here and be a part of this with me? You know, so I think that's teaching listeners a big lesson. But what kind of challenges or hesitations did you have along the way?
Oh, I think my biggest one has, and it's kind of the opposite of a lot of people, mine's been fear of success. I know a lot of people have fear of failure. I'm happy to bounce back onto my feet. And I think a lot of people in the entrepreneurial world often have either one of the two. So mine's definitely been, what happens if I take my life to the next level? Like, what do I leave behind? Growing up on, you know, in a state house on welfare, and it's a lot of these self-limiting beliefs that I've grown up with, and having not grown up around entrepreneurs and things like that. It's like, yeah, I'm breaking down that mindset of, it's okay to not be in a job. It's okay to do your own thing. It's okay to, you know, help a lot of people along the way. A lot of these things haven't been, yeah, I guess, around me in my growing up, and you embed, I guess, a lot of your thoughts and your habits at quite a young age. And to, yeah, it's still something I do challenge myself. Like, yeah, you know, I'm still challenged with, is like, okay, I'm picturing this and this and this happening. And I think a lot of my mindset around it at times is that I'm in like a winning, like buying a lottery ticket. It's like, I'm going to go from zero to, you know, $10 million, say. That's the dream. But in the past, that's been the only way that would ever happen, is if I bought a lotto ticket. And now it's at a point where, oh, but I can actually do this. Yeah, you know, I can generate, you know, substantial amounts of money being an entrepreneur by working hard and not leaving things up to chance. So I guess there's a lot that's come from my mindset, and I think that's the only thing that ever holds the majority of us back, is, yeah, money. For the majority of us that live in a first world country, yeah, we can always find money. You can always get a second job. You can always, you know, work longer hours and have more time. You can do all of those things. And the only thing that's ever going to stop you is your mindset. Are you going home and sitting down on the couch and watching TV when you could be doing something else? Or are you working your butt off to get to where you want? And that all comes down to mindset. It's not anything, you know, superhuman or a superpower that any of us have over anybody else.
You know, you just made me realize that I grew up similarly in the respect that there was nobody around me who even had their own business, never mind being an entrepreneur. There was nobody in my family. It wasn't in my immediate circle either. I don't know anybody who had their own business, not to mention being an entrepreneur, which to me, the difference would be entrepreneurs make money when they sleep.
Yep.
And the other thing is, you better get ready to go from 0 to 60 in 1.2 seconds because you have this new program coming out. Tell everybody about that.
Through the success of my podcast and the guests that I've had on, I keep getting all these questions like, oh, you're putting out this really awesome podcast. You've got this great show. It seems like you've got the systems down for it and you've been able to grow it really well. And a few people started approaching me and saying, can you help me get a show out? Can you teach me what you know? Can you do this and that and something or other else? And I said, oh yeah, I can do that and probably a bit more. just from, I guess, what I'd learned along the way. And yeah, I guess 80-20-ing things. And I mean, initially it was like 120 and zero that's with the effort that I was putting in to get the
right.
to get the reward.
Right. Well, that's where I feel like I'm hopefully on the verge of coming out of that ratio. But can you explain to everybody what you mean by 80-20?
Sorry. So it's, I think it's Pareto's law. So a guy that I massively follow, Tim Ferriss, he was the one who introduced me to it, but it had been around for a while. And it's basically looking at anything in life. So I think Pareto, some ancient guy, looked at his tomatoes, potatoes. He looked at his crops and he realized that 80% of his yield came from 20% of his plants. And then he kind of started looking at everything in life, like, you know, are we getting 80% of the output from 20% of the effort? And so, I mean, with a lot of things in life, the majority of things, you can find the smallest thing, the 20% that is going to give you 80%. So let's take fitness, for example. If you want to lose weight, you can do some small tweaks to your diet. So you don't actually have to do any exercise. You're going to get the majority of you're going to get 80% of the benefits from just changing your diet. You don't even need to be going to the gym or working out or anything like that. If you're looking to be a bodybuilder, you've got to put in 80% of your effort to get that last 20% of the gain. So it's a lot of things in life is like, how can I systemize things? How can I eliminate the stuff that can be automated to give me a lot better output? And so for me in the podcasting world, it was my strength didn't lie in editing. It didn't lie in writing show notes. It didn't lie in doing things on the website. That was something that I could outsource, but where I could get the most leverage for my show was networking and approaching guests, and that's where I was in my biggest flow, and it didn't even really seem like much work. And I could say, for example, I got really awesome guests the other day, and I looked, and my 80-20 was, how can I approach him? So, you know, he had a large team working for him, so I'd have to get through too many gates if I sent an email. If I was looking to get him on Facebook, he didn't manage his own Facebook page. If I was looking to get him as Twitter, it was the same. So I looked and I said, oh, he's on Periscope. So if you don't know what Periscope is, it's an awesome way of interacting with people, like a live streaming software. But I jumped on a couple of his Periscopes and I just kept asking questions and contributing. Then at the end of towards the end of the session, I just said, hey, I'd love to have you on my show. I interview young entrepreneurs who are just killing it like you are. And he's like, cool, send me an email at here. And that was my 80-20. I could have sent emails and could have gone through Facebook and Twitter, but it was basically just wait till Periscope told me he was online and go through there. So that's been really one of my, I guess, my strengths is being lazy and efficient at the same time, which is, I think a lot of people just, and going back to that working mindset that we're all brought up in, or a lot of us are brought up in, is we think that we have to be working 40 hours a week, or we think we have to be working overtime, or whatever it is. And my last job before I kind of ventured into this latest project was, I was in the physiotherapy kind of world, but it was in more of an office environment. And I told them, I said, I value my time more than I value money from you guys. I'll be leaving at 5 o'clock every day. And there's this really bad stigma in the office to stay later. And then people started catching on to me leaving and it not having any effect on anything. And that's where I'm like, you don't need to be working more. You just need to be working more efficiently. And I think with the entrepreneurial gene that a lot of us catch is, yes, we work more efficiently, and then we just end up working more anyway because we really like what we're doing. Like, I could do 15 hours of stuff, 16 hours of stuff throughout the day, and it's not a drama, but it's probably what would take some other people 40 hours because they're fluffing around.
When I find myself in a place where I don't have to work like this, like, let's say I was a teacher, I had summers off. What was I doing? I was like killing myself getting, I had this goal to get my novel finished before the school year started. And so, I mean, I was working, I was, like you said, 14, 16, at least hours, most days, and Labor Day weekend, I finished it.
But yeah, nice.
You know, and same thing. I just find, I don't know, I like to work. It's fun. It's challenging. But I'm in the exact same spot you were. My flow is also to reach out to guests and to engage in that way. That's my strength. But I have to get myself, lift myself up from all the other work that I'm doing that's taking up my time right now.
And that's really what I've worked towards. So I created the Podcast Institute, and basically I've created some video training. And again, even through the video training, like, I'm like, okay, I know podcasting inside out. One of my sections is a promote section. And I was like, okay, I'm good on Facebook. I'm good on Twitter. I'm good on Instagram, but I'm not great. And then I sat back and I was like, okay, who do I know that's great? And I was like, okay, well, I've interviewed this person and this person and this person, and they're doing, one's doing full-time Facebook marketing, and he's probably one of the best in the world at the moment at it. And this guy has created software to put ads onto YouTube in front of targeted videos, and he also does Twitter. Oh, and this guy, he does highly profitable webinars and creates awesome sales funnels, and this person does that. So I just started approaching them, and I was like, I could make those videos about the different social medias, and I probably still will from the things that I've learned, but I've got them all to contribute to the course, and said, instead of getting just me for the whole of it, you're getting like 10 different experts who are just all over these other aspects for helping small businesses and coaches grow exponentially in regards to here's how you can podcast. This is the bit that I'll walk you through step by step. And then the next step is, okay, here's how you can hugely leverage it with social media for not only your podcast but also your business, because that's where through different things that I've looked at, I think it's lacked is podcasting is often I think sold as get some sponsors on board and you can make thousands of dollars and you're away laughing, whereas I've deliberately avoided advertising on my podcast. I've done some affiliate work with different people who have come on, but I'm looking more at the long game in the sense that I can create the Youngpreneurs podcast into something a lot bigger than a few hundred bucks per episode with advertising on board. And that is, creating online summits featuring my guests, putting out a book regarding them. My long-term goal is what I've used. I talk about people going from an amateur to an authority. And you're definitely doing that as well, as you're going from nobody knows who you are in the nicest possible sense prior to getting your podcast out. Getting a podcast out there, it puts you as a mini celebrity within that niche really, really quickly. And what I'm working towards with the Youngpreneurs podcast and think that it's heading in that direction is, you know, down the track, I want to be in a strong enough position that, you know, we can start up entrepreneurial schools for, you know, 17 and 18 year olds who are over traditional schooling, and be able to leverage off all the people that I've interviewed and interacted with to create a bigger vision, to create these next generation of young entrepreneurs who are socially conscious, and be able to get all these top other entrepreneurs who have been in these positions to come and mentor them and take them through a lot of these different transitions. So at the moment, the business is the Podcast Institute, so the training, but yeah, playing for the long game and creating myself as an authority within that niche is the thing that's utmost importance to me.
Well, I think it's absolute genius to gather your guests together and to utilize them in such a way. And right now you're using them for podcasting, but, you know, next you could have them, maybe the same people or maybe different people, put them together for something else and continue to do this. That's one revenue stream. I mean, that ends up being multiple, but what a genius move. And I can only imagine how much you're learning from each of your guests. I mean, yeah. I'm learning from interviewing you right now. So I can only imagine what you're learning over there.
And that's what I want to put out to the listeners out there, is you can be an authority and not be an expert. And that's definitely where I am with some regards in my life, and in others, I'm the other. So, you know, with podcasting itself, I'd say I'm an expert in the sense that I go back to Tim Ferriss's, his is that you know more than 80% of the population. So yeah, I'm an expert in that. I have all the systems and things down to make it a nice smooth transition, and yeah, not take up a lot of my time, but can still, you know, put out high level content. From a young entrepreneur and if I was to say a coach in that frame, I'm definitely just an authority. I can put the right people together. People can come to me and we can create things. But the people that I'm interviewing are really the experts in the industry. So, you know, finding things that, whether it be blogging, whether it be podcasting, whether it be going out and public speaking, all of those things can quickly put you as an authority. And you really need it. So I think hopefully that breaks down a barrier for people. You don't have to be an expert to be known within your niche. You can be an authority. You can be the go-to person who can get all the other people. And that's really what I'm going to continue growing over the next 6 to 12 months, is that position of authority. And as I get more businesses and brands out around the youngpreneurs sphere, then I think I'll have more of an expert niche, and that people can come to me for the information and knowledge, not just for the connections that you get through there.
That's inevitable. That's all going to happen for you, and especially because you're putting the time in. What do you think you've learned about yourself in this process, Victor?
It's funny, because one of the things I didn't mention earlier was I love the sound of my own voice. So I did a lot of public speaking at school. I got a diploma in public speaking when I was at school, and I was actually going to go down the broadcasting line. It was a 2-year course after high school, and physio was a 4-year course. And I was like, okay, well, if I don't make it past my first year, I can go and do broadcasting. So I had it as this terrible plan B, and I don't like plan Bs, because it was it ended up that I motivated myself enough to get through physio eventually. But what I learned was, I've gone full circle. Like, I'm glad I didn't go into the working world of broadcasting, because I would have been stuck in that working thing, and yeah, everything kind of happens for a reason if you look at the good and the bad. And what I learned was, I've come full circle, but I've really found what I wanted to do. Like, I love networking with people, I love talking with people, I love learning, and I've managed, and yeah, in the podcasting world, I've managed to combine all of those things together. But from a personal growth point of view, I think the biggest things that I've learned haven't been business related, but they've been the more the self-sabotage that you tend to do. Like, I'm terrible for it. Like, when I am getting close to something being awesome, like being about to either launch something new or find something that you're passionate for, or take something to the next level, it's all these things that I would get in the way of myself. And it doesn't have to be directly self-sabotaging that. Like when I was hustling away to get this podcast first started and launched and things, like I just neglected my health. Like I put on weight and did things like that just because I was like, oh, but if I'm, and it goes back to that fear of success, but if I'm successful in this area, you know, what will happen? And so, you know, you self-sabotage another area of your life. And it's something that I think I'll be in a constant battle with to different extents as I go up. But it's, I think it's more being self-aware of what you are doing. So I can go, okay. And I mean, I just think of life as pretty simple. It's you have health, you have wealth, and you have relationships. And I think that's the biggest, when I kind of figured that out and saw that there's outside of that, you can really put everything in the world into that. It's, you don't, you're probably never going to get this perfect equilateral triangle from those three areas, but you're going to, when I tend to find that I'm self-sabotaging, I'm neglecting, it's just a straight line. It's usually one or two of those things that I'm focusing on, and one's getting massively neglected, whether it be time with friends and my partner and family and things like that, or it's, you know, my health and fitness, or it's the actual, you know, wealth generation or business development. I'm always neglecting one of those. So the biggest thing is for me to just keep sitting back and going, hey, am I giving these all some sort of my attention? I guess the thing is, like, what do I define as success? And it's just, it's a simple term that gets thrown around. It's being able to do what you want, when you want, with who you want. And if I'm focusing on one of those three or two of those three and not the third, yeah, if you're healthy and wealthy, but you've got no one to share it with, or you've burnt bridges in relationships with people who you did want to have relationships with, both friends and family and things, then, you know, I'm letting down my definition of success. Yeah, self-sabotage would definitely be my biggest learning, but it's still a work in progress.
I had no idea that you and I were going to be so similar and that I was going to learn so much about myself during this interview. It's really cracking me up a little bit. Also, you said, you know, good and bad, decisions being good and bad. Just remember, as a coach, I would say there is no such thing as good and bad. Everything is exactly what it's supposed to be. It was all learning opportunities. Earlier when we were talking and you said you were afraid of success, I actually wrote the word sabotage ?
Yep. And that's what I massively go down.
But I really love the way you summed it up with health, wealth, relationships, and how you can focus typically on two, but one of them you drop the ball on. And I'm the same way. And I'm trying to find that same balance. That's where I'm at also right now.
I think it's a really, really, really hard thing, especially when you're working on one of them a lot. Like if you're going, I know that I mean, and going to Tony Robbins a few weeks ago, he looks at it, I think he's got like six prongs to a wheel, and it's kind of like health, wealth, relationship, and spirituality, and something else, and something else. But he got you to draw on like in a circle, and it was 1 to 10. You drew a line, and it was separated the circle, and it gives you a wheel, like a yeah. And he said, what does your wheel look like? You know, would it go round and round, or would there be some areas that you're a one and some areas that you're a 10?
Was it a wheel of life?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause that's something I do with my clients as well. And when you see how uneven it is, of course your life can't roll forward.
Mm. But the interesting thing that he said was, what is the one thing that if you changed in that wheel would have the biggest influence on every other one?
Mm.
And that was huge for me, because I looked at it and I said, wealth. Wealth for me would free up time. Time for me would allow me to spend more time in my on relationships, which, you know, with friends that, you know, when you're hanging out with a lot more entrepreneurs in your world, that's going to benefit your wealth anyway. And then, you know, obviously with my partner, and you know, having that extra time, you'd be able to focus on your health more. That was the one that I said, okay, that is, but in the past I've looked at it in the wrong way. You know, I've been self-sabotaging. Yeah, I was targeting the right spoke in my wheel, but I guess the groundwork that I was working off was more self-sabotage on top of that.
Okay, let's move on here. I love everything we're talking about, and I know you've read a lot of books, so I'm sure there's one good one that you'd recommend For people who are thinking about becoming entrepreneurs, where can they start?
I've got my favorite one from an entrepreneurial one, and I've already mentioned a few times, is Tim Ferriss in the 4-Hour Work Week. I just engulf everything that he puts out, whether it be his podcast, his 3 books, his blogs. Like I love his mindset and how he works towards things. And my actual other favorite book in the last 12 months, which I have to put in there, I've been telling everyone about it, is Trust Me, I'm Lying by Ryan Holiday. It's The Secrets of a Media Manipulator, but it's one of the most interesting books that I've read ever. So it's I'd highly recommend it to people.
Okay, cool. I don't think I've heard of that one yet. So there's definitely, I'm adding books to my list with every interview.
Yeah, that's the bad thing about podcasting, because you get guilty on these 500 books that you haven't read.
No. Okay, so this part of the show, we step it up a little bit. It's Motivate Me, Express to Success, Envision, Explore, Execute. These are my ideas about how to get people to act. So for somebody to envision themselves being an entrepreneur, what would you recommend?
I'd recommend having a look at where you are now to where you want to be and work back from there. Too many people set their goals into regards to, I want to make $1 million in the next year. And working as your end goal rather than a non-structured goal is really, really important. So looking at it going, okay, I need to make $1 million in the next year. What does that have to be per month? What does that have to be per day? If that was per day, what would I have to be doing? How many clients would I have to see? How many products would I have to sell? How many different things along those lines? Because saying that you want $1 million is nice and great, but actually working it out and going, okay, well, that means I have to get, $2,500 a day. And if you've got a $500 product, are you going to be able to get it out to 5 clients and really push through that, because starting with the end in mind and deciding if you want to, if it's millions that you want, if it's passive income that you want, if it's what's your life goal? Is $10 million going to make any difference to your life more than $1 million? Or can you get to that $1 million and say, cool, that's going to keep me satisfied and I can do what I really want? Or is it that you want to be a global game changer and you want a $1 billion business and your why is to help people all around the world?
I love how you just have them really thinking about a lot and envisioning a lot, goal setting, and how you want them to look at their life playing out. I absolutely love what you tell them to envision. So to explore, how can they check out their options?
For starters, I think immersing yourself into what you want to do. So you're going to have a lot of trial and error in the entrepreneurial world. And the easiest thing to do is start educating yourself. So podcasts are great. Books are great in regards to your niche, but learning from people, and there's so many free and really cheap ways of networking. And net worth is is equal to your network. There's no people who are billionaires in the world who just do it by hiding out the back and not talking to anybody. So going to meetup.com is huge. So I run a meetup for young property investors, and we get 20 to 30 people there, and you make awesome connections and you run through there. But you also have, I go to an entrepreneurial one every Friday, and it's just a 15-minute talk and networking. And through there, I've made further connections, and you learn off different people on a lot of different aspects. And you're going to find somebody who is going to help you along your way. Don't be afraid to not use the word mentor to people, because they obviously often get scared. Like if you said, hey, I'm really looking for a mentor, people are going to disappear. But hey, I'm looking for someone that I could potentially follow around, learn a few things off, and bounce some ideas off. That's exactly the same as a mentor. Reading a book about somebody is the same as being a mentor. But people thinking that they have to mentor you is like this extra workload that they don't have time for. So unless it's a paid mentor that you're getting, then that's fine. But make sure you do your research if you are new and naive to the entrepreneurial and educational world. There are a lot of snake oil salesmen out there. Mm-hmm. You've got a smartphone nowadays. You can Google and you can find out. Most of them are going to have some sort of bad review from some sour person out there. But if they've got a lot of bad reviews, or you find out that their content isn't that great from a lot of people, then you really want to take that into there, because they're all going to have these free or cheap seminars that are going to wow you and show you the way. But make sure you find the one that's going to fit you, not just the one that's going to fit the majority of the audience.
Yeah, the word mentor brings with it a lot of commitment. It sounds like somebody would need to make a big commitment. So I would stay away from that word too. And, you know, see what you can offer them, right?
I mean, because
people will want to work with you if you have something that you want to do for them as well.
I was helping out my property mentor when he was running one of his yearly conferences that he has. And there was this speaker who really engaged me, and I wanted to know what he was like behind all the smoke and mirrors. And I was like, okay, what can I do? And I ended up behind the scenes treating one of the other speakers. And then he was looking, he's like, oh, can you treat my back? And I said, yep, sure. So later that night, I did some treatment on him, and that was what I could offer him, not to necessarily learn, but just to get that insider, you know, behind the scenes knowledge. And yeah, he did teach me a couple of things, but it was, you know, what can you often do for someone? And it might be just doing admin work for them. Like, you might leave your high paying job to do admin for someone that you want to learn off, like, you know, go and be their PA. Like, all these sorts of things can get you a foot in the door.
Right. Or even sometimes it's just helping people, connecting to different people. And all you did was say, oh, you're looking for somebody who does this. Oh, I have this person.
Yeah. It's the amount of like group Facebook chats that I've got open that are like, hey, so-and-so, meet so-and-so. You guys would be awesome to connect together. And it's just, the accidental like networking. Cause you're like, oh my God, it's a crime if these two people don't know each
other. Exactly.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yep. So to execute, what should they do?
Terrible advice, but just do it. Like, to execute, just get rid of the crap out of your life. Like, stop watching TV. I'm not saying, like, I deliberately watch shows. So, yeah, we'll download legally TV shows that we want to watch, because that means I don't have to watch ads, that we can watch it when we get a time. I can carry on working and doing things. And I love sport, so I deliberately watch the sports teams that I want to watch. And that's not like, that's me planning that into my week. And you'd be amazed, you know, the people who say they've never got any time. Like, my partner and I were at the gym at like 10 o'clock last night because we could. Like, yeah, that was the time that we could fit it in. And we got it done. But yeah, if you eliminate something as simple as as TV, you'd be amazed how you can find 5 to 10 hours a week. And it goes back to that saying that I said at the start, the action, like, take action and start reading some books instead of watching TV or sitting on social media. And I don't want to throw stones in a glass house here, but you turn that and you start taking the action and you're learning a few more things, and then you don't continue doing what I did in my initial stages and just read book after book, because you're better off having imperfect action than perfection, because you probably miss the boat by the time you're going for perfection. So yeah, take that massive action. It'll start building, keep networking, and then, you know, the attraction will start being there, and then the transactions will start coming, and you'll be starting to make some money in your entrepreneurial ventures.
What kind of closing advice do you have for us?
I guess my closing advice sits along the same lines of what I've already said, but you want to be, and I don't know what the stats are, and this is very entrepreneurial minded, but in Australia, 92% of retirees report that their primary source of income is the old age pension. And so that's their primary source of income. So like 8% of people are self-sustainable when they get to retirement. And for me, and I guess the youngpreneurs that I'm talking to, and their mindsets is, we all want to live life on our own terms. Like, you know, if you want to work a Saturday and a Sunday and then you have like 3 weeks off because you can, traveling and hanging out with the people that you want to hang out with, then that's what I really want to do. So I kind of employ everybody out there to, try every day to be a better person, to be a better you, and live life on your own terms, because like the opportunities that you're currently missing out on and the opportunities that you can one day look back on and go, wow, I can't believe I was able to do that, is really what you want to do. And I think no matter the people that the majority of people that we look up to, whether it be movie stars, sports stars, entrepreneurial people, you know, motivators, podcasters, whoever it is, they are in the most living life on their own terms, and that's why we look up to them. So yeah, start looking up to yourself and motivating yourself. Don't try and compare yourself to others, because there's always going to be somebody better than the person that you're comparing it to, and they're doing the same thing. Set your own goals and work towards achieving those.
And something about being an entrepreneur, you know, people think it's so risky, right? But the thing is, when you have one job, let's say I was a teacher, I had one revenue stream. And people don't realize that when you're an entrepreneur and you have different revenue streams, if you have 20 clients and one of them lets you go, your business isn't over, your job isn't done.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. If you were already living your worst case scenario and it wasn't that bad, then why not give it a shot? Like, worst case scenario for you, if everything went belly up, could you still become a teacher again?
Yeah, of course. I can teach college too.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that you were already living your worst case scenario. It obviously wasn't too bad, but now you can try and live life on your own terms and take life to a whole nother level. If that doesn't go, if that doesn't work, which it will, but yeah, if it didn't, then your worst case scenario, you already know it. People catastrophize and think that their worst case scenario is they're going to be in a cardboard box on the street. But for the majority of us, we might be able to slide back into the same industry. It might be not quite as well paid, or it might not be, you know, quite as cushy as how we had it previously, but it's always there. Like, it's always that, you know, nasty plan B, which can be bad for some of us because we don't want to jump out of it.
We've already made you a part of the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System.
Cool.
What other, and people can get in touch with you there. What yep. other contact information would you like to share?
Cool. Well, check out, I'll drop a couple of sites. So my podcast, for anyone looking to have a listen to the Youngpreneurs podcast, check it out at passiveincomeyoung.com. And that's got all the previous episodes. And if they're wanting to get it, there's contacts that you can also search Youngpreneurs on Facebook. And both of those you can get in contact with me via. If you're looking at any podcast training, then check out the podcastinstitute.com. And that's where I have my membership site and all my training hosted. Twitter, I'm not active enough on, so don't bother. And Instagram, I have youngpreneurs_podcast. And that's where you can find some motivational quotes. And I'm sure we... If anyone wants to get in touch, then I'd love to connect with you.
That's awesome. Victor, I want to thank you so much, because we've communicated through Facebook, but never, not face-to-face here, but never voice-to-voice like we are now. And it's been really great. I knew it was going to be awesome sitting down and talking with you today.
Yeah, no, it's been brilliant. I really enjoyed it. And I love your show, and no doubt the following that you're gonna gain from, you know, talking to different people, getting the motivation. Everybody's always looking for that shot of motivation, and this is definitely the place to be getting it.
I love it. I love what I'm doing, and I know you do too. We have that in common also.
It's great.
So I give my listeners a go-do at the end of the show. What do you think they should go do today?
What I'd say is go and get the 4-hour work week. go and do it. Read it. It will open your mind. You don't necessarily have to chase the 4-hour work week dream. I've had people who I've interviewed, like so many young entrepreneurs have been inspired by that book, and I've had a few who have reached the 4-hour work week dream and then they get bored twiddling their thumbs. But do go and read it, because it'll open your mind to the possibilities of entrepreneurship and life on your own terms.
I love it. That's it for the day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming, Victor. Remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.